We've been on a series. We started it in the fall. We'll continue it again after Easter, touching on a few things. But the whole idea behind the series is one anothering, learning that we don't walk through life alone, and we created this chain a number of months ago where people just wrote on a piece of paper the names of people who were important in their faith life. And we've put the chain together, and it's a reminder for us. And as I begin today to talk on a message about honesty with one another, I have a couple of YouTubes that I'd like for us to view. So enjoy this first one. I am going to stop it at one point for a moment. Now, I just want you to burn that image into your mind for a second. Just really try to remember that picture. That's an actual ad. Russ, could we just... Did you remember it? Next slide. Is that an amazing change? Would you ever think that the woman with the darker blue eyes is the same woman? The truth is, they're not the same woman. The fancied woman has been professionally made up. The hair has been done in an extraordinary way. And then computer graphics has trimmed and highlighted and changed those parts of the woman's physique that they decided weren't quite right, so that she could represent ideal beauty on the one hand. Is that second one and that image the same as the first? I don't really think so. Okay, we have another YouTube. This one's more fun. Johnny, you should like this.
It's dramatic. We're not going to make it. We'll never see the light again. But I will keep on going till the end.
Now, I don't know that a sound engineer can make that dramatic a change. If they could, I could be a recording star. But an awful lot of that happens in a sound room that we don't realize. And out of these two kind of examples, I want to ask the question, who are you really? Does anyone know the real you? Does anyone give you honest feedback about the real you? If you can't sing, will they tell you? Hey, I had a music director tell me. He said, turn your microphone off when we sing. Literally. True. I thank Neil for telling me that. When we began the series on one anothering, I created a slide of the composite of the statements in the New Testament about one anothering texts and how God speaks to us and says how important we are to one another. And he gives us directions like greet one another, offer hospitality to one another, serve, instruct, forgive, and you can see the whole list of the way God wants the body to work together. And much of that really depends on me being able to know you and you being able to know me, at least in measure. I can't serve you if I don't know what you need. I won't have to bear your burdens if I don't ever try to get close enough to you that I walk near you in life. One anothering, if we're really going to be a community of faith, we have to be willing to let some people in our lives and enter some people's lives ourselves. I'm going to read some specific texts this morning. And I invite you to consider the specific thing that God is saying to us through these words. But I also would like you to listen, if you will, behind the text, to the bigger picture being presented by the Lord through His Word. And I begin with one text in James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, we dealt with the pray for each other that you may be healed portion earlier in a message. But I want us to just take a moment and look at those first words. Confess your sins to each other. That's a bit of a frightening command to me. Some faith traditions, some Christian faith traditions, have it so that we go to a priest to confess our sins. Well, that's a step in that direction. It's often done anonymously, so there's a little safety shield. But God's really saying there should be some people that we go to and are honest about who we are, that they know our sins and our failings, that they're praying for us, that they're walking with us, that they're there for us. And that's pretty hard to do. We'll read a few more. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And notice this forgiving thing comes up a lot. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Live at peace with each other. We urge you, help the weak, be patient with one another. And I think if we step behind the words a little bit, we get the sense that God is saying we are to live in community with one another, and in that community we are to learn to be our real selves, warts and all. And then I have to learn to accept you for your warts, and you learn to accept me for mine. And then we walk together. And that's really often how we grow. When someone who I trust, who I know really has my best at heart, says, you may not see this, but... and gives you a little list. It's frightening, it's scary. But I can take it from those people. When HD cinematography and TV came out, actors, and particularly actresses, didn't like it. They were kind of afraid of it because it was so clear. It showed facial imperfections that they didn't want the world to know about. I found an article from 2005. Just listen to the beginning. This is an article in LA. Where else would it come from? The unforgiving clarity of high-definition television has introduced paranoia among celebrities obsessed with their appearance. The technology soon to become available in Britain produces images so sharp that even subtle imperfections, usually hidden by makeup or flattering lighting, are brutally exposed. Hollywood commentators have begun savaging stars, normally considered attractive, who appeared haggard or saggy in the new medium, which boasts resolutions 6 times that of normal TV. Distressed celebrities are rushing to plastic surgeons and dermatologists for Botox or laser treatments. Technical and makeup experts, meanwhile, are devising increasingly ingenious techniques for masking flaws such as acne scars and bulging veins. Cosmetic surgery to eliminate age imperfections? The facade that we create is a powerful motivator. The idea that the aging you is terrifying tells us a lot about our society. And the truth is, facing the truth of who we are can be frightening, not just for actors and actresses on a screen, but for us as we move around life. Some of you may know that Susan did something called Dressember last December. And she wore a dress all the time throughout the month of December. It was an international awareness campaign against worldwide trafficking and exploitation of women. And it raised over $440,000 for the organization International Justice Mission. On the IJM website, this is how they described Dressember. Dressember participants wear dresses every day during the month of December to celebrate the freedom of beauty and femininity that they're allowed to have, and to raise awareness and funds on behalf of those who aren't free to live vibrant, autonomous lives. Susan didn't make a big deal out of it. Some of you may have noticed, and a lot of you probably didn't even notice. I was surprised when she came home one day and received a comment from someone she knows who said, "I would love to do something like that. I think it's really great, but I don't have the legs to wear dresses." And I thought about that comment. If your heart is really in tune with doing something, particularly for women who are being trafficked around the world, but you're stopped because of an element of vanity, what does that say about image, about facade? Is maintaining your image more important than the things you believe in and living for them? Now, body image is easy to pick on in our culture, and that's not my target. It's just an illustration. To some extent, we all build a facade to hide the real us. In churches in particular, we're so good at presenting our public church image. We put on our church mask. "How are you?" "Oh, I'm good." "Right. No, everything's good." "Your leg's broken." "No, it's good." You know? "Your job's in trouble." No, I'm good, really. "God's so good." And we put this facade up. In fact, just as a reminder for us this week, let's just put that on the cross. So when we come to the table, we see it. I battle it. I'm a particularly private person. I understand that showing what's really going on inside of me can be frightening. But here's my singular thought for this morning. Do you have anyone who knows the real you? Do you let anyone behind the facade? I don't think God is asking us to expose our every fault and weakness to everyone in the world. I don't think that's the point of what he's saying. I don't think his message of confession is that we all have to line up every week and say what we've done. But God says, is there someone who is walking this world with you? Who can know the real you? And I understand that even by saying that, there'll be things you still hold back. But is there anyone who knows you? Is there a brother or sister in particular who's walking there? And over time, you've grown the safety of being able to share those things that you're proud about and that you're not pleased about. Do you have anyone who gets behind your facade and sees you without your makeup? Who hears your fears and your failures? Who knows the real you? The honest to goodness you? Not the perfect, I'm always in control, I always get it right you. Not the always likable person you. But you. Do you let anyone in? And particularly, do you let a brother or sister in? If we're going to build community here, then we have to build building blocks of deepest community among us here. We have to say, I'm willing to put down the mask, at least for a few, so that I can be real with some people. And as we do that, we'll learn that we'll be more and more real, appropriately, with others as well. Again, I'm not asking us to go public with all our stuff. But is there anyone? Is there someone you can be honest with? Let me suggest three practical kind of points to grow out of this as I bring us to our conclusion. First, go in your closet and ask yourself the hard questions. Questions about yourself and why you're hiding and all of that. If we begin to do that, maybe the masks will actually fall. So do the hard work. Go ask yourself the questions. And when you find out that in there may be some scars and hurts that are why you're still living this way, well, there's ways to deal with that. There's counselors to talk to. There's prayer ministry to say, hey, would you pray for me? There's opportunities to trust that Jesus will bring someone alongside who can look past those and help you to wholeness. But go in your closet and ask yourself the hard questions about your facade and why it's there. Number two, I encourage you to make a list. It's a guess at this point, but make a list of people you think might be safe for you to begin to let your guard down with. Put more than one person on that list, please. I encourage you to fill that list with people of faith, but think about it. Who do you think you could begin this journey of honesty with? You understand at this point that aside from marriage partners, this needs to be female with female and male with male. Don't cross those bounds, please. And then number three, take the risk. Go to one of those people and say, could we begin to connect? Bill talked about this on February 1st. Could we just see if it works? And then trust an answer. They might say, you know, I don't have the bandwidth at this point. I have a number of people. I can't bring someone else into the fold. Okay. You might start that and you know, have a first cup of coffee with that person and realize, you know, there's just not a connection there. Okay. That's why it's a risk. Because it's a risk on both sides. I get that. But if you don't take the risk, you're never going to feel the reward. And you might have to work down your list a little bit. And you might be surprised because someone might come to you that wasn't on your list. The point is, are you willing to find at least one brother or sister that you can sit with and be as honest as possible and watch over time as that honesty grows? Confess your sins to one another. It's not going to happen in a vacuum. It's going to happen in a relationship. Let's pray. God, thank you for the way you watch over us, and for the call you have to us to risk community with a brother or a sister, with brothers or sisters. Lord God, help us, please, to find those with whom we can walk through life encouraging, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, confessing to one another, and experiencing the joy of heart connection. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.